Good morning, everybody. Yes, a brand new year and lots of excitement and things to get stuck into. And I actually was very, very keen to get going this Monday, believe it or not. I was actually very keen because it felt to me like I was away for ages. It was only 2 weeks. Felt like ages. I came in here, both the producers, you remember James and Flex, they said, oh, no, it felt like 5 minutes. But I felt like we hadn't been here for a long time. Here's Leanne Moll. She makes a triumphant return.
That's a very good attitude to have on the first day back.
I'm very excited. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
No. Did you have a nice time?
I didn't go away.
I went down for a wedding. There was a wedding last Saturday that I was in Cape Town for. Other than that, it's kind of at home and around, but I did a lot of family things, and honestly, it was so nice to just not go anywhere. I feel that's almost why my time felt longer. I didn't spend so much of it traveling, you know, airports, cars, taxis, Ubers, that sort of stuff.
There's also the thing about being date aware that makes it feel shorter. Whereas that period between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, my God. Yeah, everyone was talking about
really
it.
You don't really know the day.
No, you don't know what. Really, you couldn't care less.
That's the best. It's like not having mirrors or clocks in your house.
I don't know, though. I woke up late a couple of mornings and was like, should I have forgotten something? You know, which is a strange way to behave, I know. Mig says, no pants, Cliff. No, I have pants.
Well, they're a court brook.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the comments section. Hey, guys, welcome back. Nice to see everybody's back in there and having fun. Bitcoin Boots says, 2 minutes late, sound is sharp. This might be a good year, James. Well, the only reason we were 2 minutes late, and they did shame, they actually came in here yesterday to make sure everything was right because we had so many disastrous things happen last year towards the end of the year. You know, just technical shit that creeps in. And I sent James a message yesterday. I'm like, are we good to go for tomorrow? And he's like, yep. Flex and I on our way to the studio now to go and check things. And I was like, okay, good. All right, good. Very, very nice. Don says, good morning, heathens. Matthew says, first stream of the year. Very good. And I see also here, Almarie says, welcome back. Okay, so what did we miss while we were away? Sure. I don't know. I mean, there are a couple of things that were in the news. I saw that Joe Biden is, I mean, if you didn't think he was demented, then all you needed to do was see who he was giving presidential medals of freedom to. The only two people who he gave medals to that I thought, yeah, I'm glad to see those people getting something for their contribution to the world is Michael J. Fox, you know, who, by the way, I don't think got it for, you know, his role in Back to the Future. It's for the work that he's been doing for Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a famous sufferer of Parkinson's. Not that that's something anybody wants. He's obviously done an enormous amount to bring awareness to it. He campaigns very hard for it. He raises money for it. He's been at the forefront of making sure that we can find the best research available, that we can have people working on this disease. I mean, it's just horrible. And, you know, the fact that he got recognition for that from whoever it was is great. The other one who I thought was cool is Denzel Washington, who's like a folk hero, you know. And Denzel Washington, anybody who goes on the internet knows that this guy says a lot of really, really important things that need saying. And I'm a big fan. I'm delighted that he's being recognized for that, not just for his acting, which is spectacular in any case. But then they gave an award to Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, like, you say what you want, but Hillary is just, she's a failure. Everything she's done, she's failed at. She hasn't won at. She's not a winner. She did nothing good for America. I mean, if you're going to give her, like, what's the adult movie awards, the porn awards that they, for like, you know, for the wife who stands by you kind of award in a porno, that would have been appropriate. And then Bill could have given it to her and gone, oh, I've got an award for you, Hillary, because you stood by me all those times. I was banging interns in the Oval Office. But to give that horrible harpy of a woman an award, I mean, George Soros, do me a favor. I also saw that they made Stephen Fry in the UK, while we're talking awards, they made him a sir.
I thought he was already.
No, he got.
I thought
finally,
I was reading old news when I saw that.
A bit of recognition for a man who really he's so prolific. He's so busy. He writes. Mm. He does 100 different things at once. He's an incredibly productive human being, and you know, I think his contribution is pretty damn fine. I think 100%. He deserves that.
Yeah.
Did you get any awards?
No.
Oh, not, how disappointing! I thought you
not
did.
When I checked last. No? Not when I checked last. I did spend quite a busy time packing up the family home because of relocation, etc.
Yeah.
Downsizing.
And did you find a whole lot of things?
Well, I did actually. So speaking of awards, I found all my dad's trophies, which were hidden way, way back somewhere. So that was quite amazing. Finding all of his cycling memorabilia, really quite something. So, you know, we've kept all of those so that we can look through them at some point.
You don't want to throw stuff out.
No, in case you don't want to make rash decisions now.
No, even though you have to put them in a box and you think, oh, we'll get to this one day. But it's better not to throw it away.
Yeah. So cycling magazines from the 1930s. And
they had bicycles then?
Yeah, I think so. just really amazing watching a person's passion – life passion unfold. But yeah, and it's just some amazing things like love letters that my mom wrote to him while he was in the army, his replies, little secret messages written on serviettes in restaurants, and just finding this whole romantic relationship that my parents had, which was really amazing.
That's sweet.
But yeah, it is difficult making these decisions on what to, especially when you're downsizing.
Oh, yeah. Because you can't keep everything.
Oh, of course not. And look, my dad was a bit of a hoarder. He was a neat hoarder.
Okay.
But
so it was organized.
He didn't get rid of anything, no.
Okay.
We did find in the garage 51 toothbrushes.
Used or unused?
Saved all of them for use on his bicycle and for cleaning things. Yeah. You know. Lots and lots of trophies. And then about 140 broken chairs, which
what?
He was going to fix.
Oh, right. Yeah. Stuff that you just, well, it's so funny you mentioned like toothbrushes and chairs, because I popped in at my folks' house once or twice over the holidays. And at one stage, my dad was fixing chairs.
Yes.
Which
you
was
see?
So funny. Like clamps and glue and shit. I mean, he's good at it. You know, yeah, you asked me to fix a chair, I wouldn't know where to fucking start.
Yeah.
And then he was cleaning brass stuff, you know, sort of swords and things and like with toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay.
So it's not that strange.
No, the holidays are also a good time to do all of that stuff. I spent quite a lot of time just tidying up around the house, also throwing things out that were taking up space and just kind of organizing my life a little. I love doing that.
Well, it's a good thing, you know, because it's inevitable, but somebody will have to
tidy
all of that for you one
day.
No.
I'm very glad I'm back in the saddle in terms of taking care of things, because
it's quite difficult. I'll tell you one thing though, a little tip. If you are throwing out a lot of stuff, okay, look, we donated 2 garage worths of black rubbish bags of suits and shoes and everything. Kitchenware, we donated a hell of a lot of stuff. And once you've got your donate, keep, or trash piles, you're good to go. Order a skip. Don't bring the skip inside. Keep it on the pavement. And you'll never have to have it taken away.
Because people just pilfer.
As the first item hits the bin.
People are there.
You hear the trolleys coming.
Wow. Okay. Well,
but there's a whole network. The security guard will call someone. Then he comes with a bucky.
I had to replace a washing machine. I mean, this is so domestic and boring, but it's so funny. I had these conversations almost all the way through the holidays too, with people saying, you know, the things that excited me this year were so boring compared to previous years. I mean, you remember like parties that lasted for like 2 days, you
coming
know?
Home stinking of champagne that had been sprayed.
Yeah, and what are you doing for New Year? Kind of stuff that everybody, there's this huge pressure to make New Year the biggest year, biggest night of the year, and I don't feel any of that. I went out with, funnily enough, with Ben and like 2 or 3 other friends, and we had an absolutely awesome time. It was chilled. But I promise you, I was watching the clock. I was like, 12:20 is a good time to leave. So I literally stayed for the countdown and got the hell out of there. And I was in bed, asleep, and it rained so goddamn hard on New Year's Eve in Joburg.
Yeah.
So anyone who was around Joburg was like, yeah.
I'd like you know,
messy, drunk, and out on the street while it's pissing down.
And the fireworks that you bought are of no use.
Well, yeah, that was probably a good thing.
Yeah.
For many people. I'm not an anti-fireworks guy, but I understand, you know, for people who have pets and things, they get all uptight about that. But it's funny. I tried to also stick to not doing too many different things this year. You know, usually December's chock full. It always has been for me, just packed with things that I have to do, places I have to be, people I have to see. I actually just kept it pretty chilled this time. There were a few days or nights where I was like, nah, we'll see what happens. You know, you end up having a long lunch with some friends or, you know, doing something cool, which was lovely. So honestly, feeling very, very revived, re-energized, revitalized, all that stuff, ready to go. And we have got a hell of a year ahead of us. I think everyone is quite excited about 2025. It's going to be a big year. There's a lot happening in the world. There's going to be change everywhere. I see lots of stuff happening already. And it's funny, too, that there were a couple of events that were like reminiscent to me of darker times where you can tell that like the media are trying to make a story out of something. And it just kind of fell flat. You know, there was that woman on the SAFair flight who had a tantrum and like attacked the colored air hostess. And she was just completely drunk and or stupid or, you know, a bunch of other things too. Anyway, I don't think it went anywhere. It was like a day's thing and people were like, ho-hum.
I don't know so much.
Do you think it was a big deal?
Yeah, I think it hung around for a long time.
And then there was some guy who called a black family baboons. And again, people are like, must we go down this old path again? I just think it's tired.
Well, the thing is, people are not interested. It takes one incident. And then, of course, the media will find other incidents. For instance, the plane crashes. You know, all of a sudden. The
Korean ones.
Well, no, there were plenty. There were about six, I think. But then they were scrounging around for smaller ones that would never be reported normally order to create this. Why are planes falling out of the sky? Why are they?
Yeah, but this is the media. Yeah. My point being, whether these incidents actually happened or not, or whether people cared about them or not, the media is trying to make a big thing out of them because that's their business. You know, and I've said this a million times, the best thing you can do is ignore the stuff. Like you don't have to. There are people who obviously want to know, you know, like I always tease my dad and we've spoken about this, about the weather, you know, they need to know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow.
Big thing, yeah.
But you're going to go outside anyway, and you're going to need to wear clothes. And if you need an extra layer, you can decide on the morning. It's not going to kill you. Like knowing the weather is not a big deal. Like, you know, I was getting
crazy
reports of how many mils of rain. Yeah. You know, it's like
my aunt will run through. She'll run from the office on the property all the way to the lounge to tell us it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, yesterday.
And it seems to become more and more important the older you get.
Yeah, yesterday. Why? Well, I'm not going to get like that.
I don't understand.
It's so stupid because actually, who cares about the weather? Yesterday, we went for a nice little family lunch and everybody was there because, you know, they were also my brother and his kids and his wife were away. They did a couple of things during the holiday. So it was sort of nice to get together yesterday. But in the middle of the day, while we were having lunch, it started raining.
Mm.
And then 5 minutes later, it was gone. Mm. So what's the point of knowing the weather?
Well, you know what? Only when it's disastrous. Like at the moment, there are flood warnings.
Well, if you've, yes, sure.
Fire warnings.
If you're planning something.
Is it in flooding?
Of course. If you're planning something big and, you know, people want to cross a certain river into a certain place, then you do need to know that stuff. But otherwise, calm the hell down. You know, you're not a meteorologist and nobody cares. The point I was trying to make about the news is that you don't need to know most of that either. You know, if something's happening in Azerbaijan, it's not going to affect you so much. And I didn't pay any attention to any political news over the holidays. And I was so happy. It just makes your life better. You really, I can't believe I'm advocating for this when for so many years, knowing what was in the news was my bread and butter. Mm. It was what we did on this show. And I'll still pay attention because, you know, we want to be able to talk about stuff here. But honestly, like it was, I was in a coma news-wise over the 2 weeks we were away. And I don't feel like I missed anything. Mm. I saw some of these news things like on my Twitter feed when I decided to go on there, which was rare. And I don't feel like I needed to get more involved than that. We should all just enjoy our lives and have fun. And yeah, pay attention to the people closest to us. Do the things that we have to do with regard to our own businesses, careers, work, and focus less on the stuff that doesn't affect us that's out there. It really doesn't matter. It's not worth getting upset about. It's just going to distract you, which is, I think, the point, you know, so that they can get your attention and charge people for your eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. Okay, Roxanne says, I feel like I was living under a rock all December. I didn't look at any news. Same here. And look at how much better we are for it. Gareth's laptop needs a real network sticker or Apple must pay. Yeah, they're not going to pay. Yesterday's weather in Gauteng was like Clarence weather, stop-start rain. I think it was great. And, you know, they were talking a little bit at the beginning of December about, oh, water restrictions. And I know people in Joburg didn't have concurrent water supply through the entire course of the holidays. But and that must be frustrating as hell. I don't know if it affected you.
No, thank goodness.
But Jesus, I heard stories about people who, like, for a week didn't have anything.
Yeah, there's always something.
Yeah.
That and they were fixing.
They were trying to fix the system apparently because there's so many pipes that are old and need replacing.
I did see a lot of people working even on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I had to be like an electrician a couple of times. You know, when you go to the one of my outside lights is obviously tripping. So I had to.
What did it take? Was it good?
I had to go to the switchboard and kind of go, okay, it's not that one. Okay, it's not that one. Mm-mm. Oh, it's that one. Because it would keep going up and down. And then eventually I figured out, okay, it's because we've had so much rain. There's just water everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, and if I've got this, probably thousands of other people have got it. And you can imagine how difficult it is to keep all of this going. I mean, I had a swamp in my garden after the one day's rain. It was crazy.
Yeah.
No, but I'm glad to be back. And I'm glad that we are ready for a big, beautiful year. So let's see what everybody's up to. And we'll also get into some news. Starting us off this morning, I saw that there's the story about a HMPV outbreak. Have you heard about this? This is going on at the moment.
Again?
So this is in China, a human metapneumovirus. Yes. Oh, does this sound familiar?
Well, it's one of those things that the media jumped on.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, I didn't pay attention over the holidays, so here I am paying attention now.
I mean, one of the headlines I saw just on digital media, they're using the word corona before they even mention what this is.
And they use those fucking pictures of the little viruses with the funny little things coming out. Is there like one picture? You know, in the age of AI, and I've been playing around with AI a lot in the last few days because it can generate images for you. It can do anything. And you even see it in YouTube videos that people are just generating all kinds of amazing images. It looks, you know, like something that was filmed.
I see.
In a Hollywood studio, but we still use the same picture of that
little virus.
White virus with the little red things coming out of it.
Yeah,
come on.
Now the media is trying to scare us with what's going on there.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
BRICS News reporting this morning. Just in, China facing a new virus outbreak with human metapneumovirus spreading rapidly, causing flu-like and COVID-19-like symptoms.
It's another flu. It's a flu.
So was COVID. I know at the time it was very controversial to say that, but that's what it was. Anyway, don't pay any attention to that. And yes, it's going to be winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And you know what that means? Coughs and snivels and sniffs. And there we go. There's that. Oh, I hate that picture so much. Right?
Do better.
I know, really, guys. Come on. Oh, that's the most irritating picture. Okay, so there's that. Then apparently there was another poor sapphire. They're just trying to get people from here to there. But they've publicly acknowledged that they have overbooked flights, aiming to keep ticket prices affordable, but resulting in some passengers not being able to board their flights. The practice has sparked controversy among travelers who argue that compensation offered was not always able to cover the losses from missing flights. While overbooking is legally challenged under South Africa's Consumer Protection Act, airlines worldwide, including FlySafair, employ this strategy to manage no-shows and optimize aircraft occupancy.
They're always under the spotlight for something, airlines.
Well, because people want to get from A to B and they want it to be as seamless as possible. And most of the time it is. And then the one time it isn't and it's you, you're like, this is not fair. I'm going to complain.
Where's the manager?
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I feel kind of sorry for all these guys. Anyway, yes, they do overbook flights. That's what happens. And frankly, if you are late or you're the last one there, or you dither and dilly-dally and fuck around, then they should disembark you and they should give your seat to someone else, someone who's actually on time. I'm really not a fan of like consumer rights when it comes to people being useless themselves.
Mm.
Just, I paid for this is not good enough anymore. How about you arrive on time? How about you make sure that you are at the boarding gates with plenty of extra buffering on either side? Make sure that you've got your ID on you. Make sure that you've got the right size bag. I mean, how hard is this stuff to do? Yeah. You know, I saw a bunch of people when I flew down to Cape Town and back, like carrying three or four bags onto a flight. You can take one bag, but there's a backpack. Then there's this bag. Then there's the one with the wheels.
Maybe they're moving.
And then they stand there in the passage blocking everybody. And they say to the, people over the cabin crew? They say to them, there's no space for my bag. You're like, yeah, because you're an overloaded ark. And you, what do you need? What do you need all that shit for?
Yeah, but it's,
you know, it's not like, what are you going to cure cancer in Cape Town? What are you off to do, Dr. Doolittle?
But when you're a seasoned traveler like yourself. Jeez, that's when you pick up on it. It's so irritating.
It's just like, get your shit together. And, you know, I feel sorry for parents who have to travel with little kids. I saw a lot of that too. Because the kids,
I don't really feel sorry for them. They made that choice.
I don't know. I feel sorry for them because it's hard to manage.
They made a choice to have children and they made a choice to travel with them.
It's hard to manage kids. It really is. This one's loud and the mom's like, shh. The kid doesn't listen. And their ears pop when they fly and they hate that. And anyway, the other thing that I got annoyed by, which I want to refer to, is I went to the gym yesterday. There was this dude who, you know, there are people who treat public places like they are their private bathrooms.
Oh, yes.
Can we stop this? No. Can we just put like, I don't know, there must be a sticker. There must be a thing that you can, it can almost automatically just come up on everyone else's phone around you just to remind you, hey, you know what? This is a gym. It's not your house. So no, you can't shave your ugly fucking head.
Is that what
in the basin?
Doing?
Walk around in like wet socks. He had a toiletries bag. And I'm like, this isn't a hotel. Sure, you need to maybe shower after you've been training and you've got to go somewhere after that. But just stop being such a fucking disaster.
Oh,
people,
no,
you know, the world would be great if it wasn't for people.
Of course, yeah.
Right?
It would be a very different place.
And by the way, I'm just absolutely in love with traffic this week. I know it's going to be good until next Monday, probably, when everybody else comes to work.
No, of course.
If you're still off this week, bless you, because I'm happy to be at work this week. It's a pleasure. Johannesburg is such a pleasure. It was all the way through December.
Yeah, I think a lot of people went away compared to the year before. But just back to the gyms.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll never forget, the guy I was dating at the time came out of the bathroom absolutely horrified. Mm-hmm. And he'd witnessed a man using roll-on deodorant who applied the deodorant under his arms and then lifted his leg, put it up on the bench, and did the back of himself.
His asshole.
Yes.
Swears.
And then put put the lid back on and back into his bag.
Yeah.
So I didn't think your dude shaving his hair. I mean, you know, I mean, but surely does he need to shave his hair every day?
I don't know.
Rather save that for
he must have been maybe
an everything shower at
maybe
home.
Maybe he was raised in a war zone or something. I always imagine like people are just, they've come from, I don't know, some terrible fucking place, Somalia or whatever, and they just are not used to civilization. That's what I imagine. I always just go, well, clearly this person was like born under the rubble in Mogadishu, and this is the first time they've seen running water. So I expect nothing from them, but it just boggles my mind. You know, again, even the shops, by the way, I saw that the grocery stores are already advertising, obviously back to school, but Easter.
Yep.
Easter,
Valentine's Day.
Like there are Easter eggs in the shops. Mm-hmm. Guys, give us give us just like a week or two to get back into normal.
We haven't even returned our Christmas gifts yet.
Oh man, I enjoyed giving everybody Christmas presents this year. It's my favorite thing. Loved it.
Yeah, I had to buy two only. So that was new. Yeah,
nice. budget friendly, huh?
Very budget friendly. But then it's actually nice because you can splurge a little and get a proper gift.
And the eating,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something else is that I, after the 25th, I don't think I've eaten very much at all. I've been like a bird because I felt like I'd put on 700,000 kilograms by Christmas Day. I was walking like this. And I hadn't even, because I mean, obviously.
You feel a bit like Henry VIII.
Yeah, I weighed
a
myself
bit octagonal.
Up. But you know how you, because it's also the kind of food you eat. I got into a conversation with somebody standing in the queue at the airport, and he was like, it's that Christmas, it's what you eat at Christmas that makes you, you know, it's potato salads and ham and all that sort of shit. And you just walk out of there and you feel like the Michelin man. Crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that's done. Mm. And I see also there's some other news stories. We'll get to a couple of these as we go through the course of the morning. By the way, no Dr. Hanan today. He's only back on the 14th. Clever man.
Very wise.
Very, very
Always
wise.
Always has been.
Dead at 116 years old. You know about this?
Oh, finally. That's what I would have said if I was that person.
So Tomiko Ituka. Of course, an old friend of yours.
Yeah.
Recognized by Guinness World Records as the world's oldest person, passed away at the age of 116 in Ashiya, Japan. Born in 1908.
My goodness.
Uh-huh. Ituka led an active life, notably playing volleyball in high school and climbing Mount Ondage twice. So you only need to climb them. You know these people who
so
are
that's
like,
the secret.
Just twice. Just climb any mountain twice. And she was known for her love of bananas and kelpies, a yogurt-flavored drink. Her death was confirmed January 5th, 2025, although she had died on December the 29th. They had to confirm these.
Oh, I thought that she died twice.
You know, they wanted to go and make sure. They were like, Guinness Book of Records pitch up. Nope, not until we see the body.
Yeah.
We got to check. Family
They're really
grieving.
Strict with that.
Yeah, they are.
I'm working with one of the brands that I work with. We want to try and break a Guinness World Record.
Yeah?
And yeah, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff because somebody's got to be here to verify.
There are rules. People have rules. Anyway, then the new oldest person alive is someone called Ina Canabaro Lucas, who is a 116-year-old Catholic nun from Brazil. That's the new
That's
oldest.
A lot
person.
Of no sex.
116 years, eh? I mean, for you, it's only been 25.
Exactly. By comparison. Wow.
Oh man, you imagine what you feel like at 116. You probably are just like, come on already. Okay, I got the Guinness World Record. Let's go.
I was watching that documentary last night on that tech billionaire who wants to live forever.
The one who did transfusions
Brian
from his son.
Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the one who did all those blood transfusions from his like teenage son.
He's done everything.
I mean, this poor kid is like a lab rat for his dad to live forever. He's like, come on, give me your blood.
No, but he's all into it. the sun. Yeah, yeah,
but the kid doesn't have to be a part to this. I mean,
oh no, he wants to be the sun. He wants to be. He's doing exactly the same as his dad. But I just thought, you know, if I feel like I do now, he is catching up, but he paid $20 million for the equipment that's keeping him.
You're not a great reference. No, but you're not a good reference point on wanting to live forever.
No, exactly that too. The will has to be there.
And Leanne's always been like, if I can go by Tuesday, that's all right. That's good. I want to keep going as long as I can. I did get to see a lot of friends over the holidays too. And some people I haven't seen for a while, which was nice. And went to this wedding, which was beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Right up in the hills in Constantia. I mean, the views there. You know, Cape Town, really. I got to give Cape Town credit. And I think, obviously, it helps if you have money there. Because I think if you're poor in Cape Town, I think it's an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
Really. There's no way. If you think you're sitting in, I don't know, Florida and Johannesburg right now, and you're going, I think it's time to move to Cape Town. Mm. Let me just tell you, if you're going to do that, you need to have serious fucking money.
No, absolutely.
There's no way that Cape Town is fun unless you have tons. So make your money. If it's going to be in Cape Town, good, and you've got some idea, you've got some business, you're going to kick ass and take numbers, awesome. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to go very well for you. Everything is more expensive. And yes, there are beautiful places, but most people are learning that it's full. Like Cape Town's full.
Yeah.
There is no room for anybody anymore. The traffic was insane. The wedding was on a Sunday, and the day before there was rugby at Greenpoint Stadium. Mm. And luckily, I had already got to where I was going before any of that, and we went the other way around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think people were stuck for like 2-3 hours
mm-hmm.
because the place is full. And obviously, it's even fuller now, the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
I took a walk along some beaches with a friend of mine, and she and I were just chatting the whole way. And I realized there were thousands of people all over those beaches.
Mm-hmm.
It was packed. So I feel kind of a little bit, but don't take me too seriously on this, a little bit sorry for Capetonians. Because they lose their city to everyone else during Absolutely. December, and they can, I think they're allowed to be a little bit grumpy about that. I mean, if Joburg people suddenly had a whole bunch of people from everywhere else come into their city,
oh yeah, we'd be very vocal about it,
and like change the whole character of the place for a month or more, and then disappear, we'd be furious.
Yeah,
you can't go to your normal shop, your running route. You're going to go and get a haircut, and suddenly there's like 15,000 cars outside the place because there's a restaurant there next door to the hair place. It's crazy. Yeah. I feel very sorry for Capetonians at this time, and I'm usually horrible to them, so I wanted to give them a chance to not feel like it was just nastiness coming from me. And then I see you've also got something to tell us about arrests about an Uber driver. I took so many Ubers.
Yeah.
Also, again, you know, not cheap, but you've got to get
prices obviously are pumped up.
Absolutely. But do I want to get a rental car? Hell no. Try to find parking? Hell no.
Mm.
So if you can, and obviously a lot of people were using Ubers and Bolts and whatever else because they were drinking over the holidays. Sure, there was a lot of drinking. Not for me, but I saw just people sitting outside restaurants and things, just knocking it back.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people on holiday, they just turn up that alcohol consumption to insane levels. And the amount of productivity, if it was a normal day, that we would lose to hangovers would be through the roof. South Africans, we just love to drink. We talk about it all the time on this show, but it's true, right?
It's so true. It's so true.
So tell us about this Uber driver in Athlone. This is in Cape Town, where we were just talking about.
It was an Uber driver who had received a call
mm-hmm.
For a pickup. And upon arrival, there is a video of what happened.
Yeah, we've got the video.
He had, yeah.
There it is. Oh, wow. That's the guy.
Okay, so that's the photograph here of what
the guy
happened.
In the Nike shirt looks a bit like Marvin, who works with us, right? Is it Marvin who was harassing the dude?
No, it was Marvin.
Is that Marv who works for us? Is he the one who's caused the shit? Am I wrong, guys? That does look like him, right? It's Marvin.
But South Africans absolutely loved this video.
What happened?
Because of the, you know, the choice language of being
on
the Cape Flats. So it started with that. And then what it ends with was really funny by comparison. Okay. I know it's not a funny incident, but South Africans just truly loved commenting on this video.
So what happened? The Uber driver was robbed.
Yeah. So he was robbed. We can watch the video.
All right. YouTube won't let us.
Oh, damn.
You know, it's
YouTube.
On YouTube. We're going to be playing it because it's already on YouTube. And we'll credit whoever channel it is. Dumbasses. These guys just don't. I mean, YouTube of all people, they don't understand how media works. All right. But anyway.
He stops. A guy gets into the front. He's got a knife and threatens him. And he
greets him by
saying.
You can mention it's Marvin who works with us.
He greets him by saying, Marsupus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he carries on saying it, as you can imagine. Two guys in the back. These guys were aged between 18 and 20 or 21. And the guy, the Uber driver, just said, take everything. Just take whatever you want.
Man.
And he opened up the boot, etc. And then the guy came back and said, are you Muslim? He said, yes. He said, salam, and shook his hand.
No.
It was so odd. Bizarre. And yeah, and the guy just drove off. Anyway, they're
arrested.
Is that
meant to make it better?
It's just South African. It's so South African. That's the thing.
And do people not know that everything is being filmed these days? Because this guy obviously had
the quality of the camera was so clear. That picture did not do it justice.
So it's got like a dash cam, obviously. Yeah. Is that what he had?
Yes.
Okay. Because a lot
of the sound is perfect.
A lot of these lift sharing services now, they've got a dash cam there for their own safety.
Mm.
Because passengers are such assholes.
Exactly.
You know, please climb in the back of my lightly shat Corolla. Some fucking chick you were taking home the previous night from a bar just, decided to pee a little on her way home. And I feel sorry for these guys. I got into the most amazing Uber. This dude picked me up in Cape Town, took me to the airport on the way back. And he had this BMW, but it was kitted out. He had a bottle of water in there, mints in the door. It was spotless inside.
It's obviously an Uber black.
Yeah, but the driver, Nigerian dude.
Yeah.
But so smart and knowledgeable and like telling me stories about this and that. And I thought this guy should be like, he should have shares in Uber.
He needs more than 5 stars.
Yeah, like can you give more than 5 stars?
Because,
pretty amazing.
You know, you an Uber black can be anything from I was picked up in a miniature car. I'd selected Uber black.
What do you mean? Like a car for dwarves?
Like a small, yes, it looked like a small version of something that it was.
Like the Snow White and her friend's mobile?
And it had an amazing legroom, but that's because the chair in the front was in the window.
What was it, a Bajaj?
I don't know. No,
you say
not
a miniature
small,
car. Like what kind of car?
No cars.
But Leanne,
it was tiny. Look, all I know is that when I stopped, my brother and his friend were canning themselves because it was so tiny. And that was an Uber black. Literally, I took it from my house, so not even a kilometer. It was pouring with rain. Took it from my house to theirs. And they were canning themselves because it was tiny.
Shame.
And that was classed as an Uber black. The
and
other thing is,
little
while
car.
He was driving, he was watching the map and slamming on brakes, though he had 600 meters to go. So that was my Uber black compared to yours.
No, mine was fantastic. This guy was awesome.
Anyway, these guys who, these perpetrators have all been arrested, identified beautifully from this beautiful dash cam video. In fact, they found the guy in the front's Facebook profile.
Like recorded in 4K.
Yeah. So they've all been arrested and they've arrested another one from another incident.
Okay. So they're getting the people.
100%. Yeah.
Get it? And I know that there's probably been tons of stupid shit that happened over the holidays for people too. You know, there's always like robberies and stupidity in the shopping malls and that kind of crap. I hope not too much of that happened to anyone who listens to this show. If you don't listen to this show, I could give a shit. you take your chances. And then there's also a nice story that I want to hear about a South African musician. It's not a great story, but it's about this dude. And he and his fiance, his British fiance, who were found dead in Vietnam.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a hell of a story for anyone who's into these crime and investigation things.
Huge one, this one.
Yeah, because it's very mysterious.
Internet sleuths are all over.
Very mysterious. We've got a pic of, you explain the story first. There they are. So who's this musician? I don't know who that guy is.
So he's a Durban musician. Engaged very recently. In fact, the 10th of December, I think they got engaged.
What happened?
His name is Els Arno Quinton.
Yeah.
His fiancée is Greta Marie Otterson from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
They were both discovered dead in Vietnam in their villa on Boxing Day.
So they were there on holiday.
Now, this is odd. It was a long stay holiday. So they've been there, I think, since June or July.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, they were found in separate rooms. I don't know if they'd been staying in separate rooms. They may very well have been.
Okay.
But found behind each locked door, dead on their beds, with absolutely no sign of invasion, no sign of breaking and entering, no sign of any items being stolen, and no harm to their bodies.
Drugs?
Absolutely no harm to their bodies.
Really?
The only thing they found, so mysterious. The only thing that they found in each of their rooms, they'd obviously had some wine the night before. So they found some bottles of wine, which they've now sent for testing. But I mean, that's completely bizarre.
I mean, if there was a medical condition, only one of them would have it. They wouldn't both have it. So that's very spooky.
And if it was poisoning from the wine, who would have wanted to poison a Durban musician and his English fiance?
Especially if they'd been there for months.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Totally
bizarre. I mean, obviously, we haven't got the whole story here. No. So we'll have to see what happens.
We'll have to see.
I found this pretty interesting. And I don't know, it might have slipped by most people, but 38,000 taxpayers have ended their tax residency in South Africa, costing the revenue collector a whopping 3 billion rand.
So wait, you'll have to explain that.
Okay. So if you're making a certain amount of money here, and you are able to register yourself in the Cayman Islands, Dubai, Malta, Mauritius, wherever, you're going to do it so that you can get SARS's ugly, greasy clutches off of your money that they don't have any right to, except that they hold a gun to your head. So what's happened is that about 1,700 millionaires in South Africa have changed their tax residency status, representing almost 5 billion rand in taxable income and almost 2 billion in assessed tax.
That'll no longer be coming to SARS.
Yeah. I mean, this is what happens though when your tax rates get too high. People go, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to find some way to move my money offshore. And governments are always going to be slower than individuals will be, and then lawyers and accountants will be at figuring out loopholes.
Mm.
So I hate to say it, but I've been talking about this for the longest time. When you're charging people 45, 50, 55, 60% tax, which technically most of us, not even those who are not earning that much money in South Africa, pay. If you consider, you know, what you have to pay in petrol, there's a tax on that. What you have to pay in VAT, there's a tax on all the food. There are taxes everywhere that are built in.
Yeah.
You know, there's this license.
Over and above the tax that's deducted from your salary.
There's this license. There's that fee. There's this toll gate. There's all these different things that government uses to draw money out of your wallet. And eventually people go, no, I'm not going to do this. And they find a way over it and beyond it and under it and past it. And that's what's happening. So 38,000 taxpayers have decided they're not South African taxpayers anymore. They're primarily taxpayers somewhere else, where the rate might be 2%, 5%,
But now 10%. This is going to be used as an excuse for not, you know, fixing infrastructure.
Of course. Yeah, but
even though,
you know what?
The money had been squandered.
When governments don't have a good tax regime, this is what happens to them. And you know what I say? Bad things happen because
you deserve them.
Correct. So good luck, government, you assholes. You want to tax people, and that's what's going to happen. The money is going to flow out. And for all those people who go, oh, well, that money should stay here. We should force those people to stay here. It's not your money either. You don't have any right to it. I don't have a right to walk into Leanne's house and take a third of everything she has. You know what would happen?
Walk away with one cat.
I'd walk away. She'd probably shoot me if I tried to take one of her cats. And she'd be well within her rights to do so. So how come the government thinks it can take money before you've even got your money yourself? You know that it gets taken off before it even lands in your account.
You don't even smell it.
Outrageous. So this has got to change. And frankly, I think government have got to learn some hard lessons. If it means that the whole country has to realize that they have over... Just look at this quickly. I mean, this is exactly my problem with so much of what goes on in South Africa. 1,660,182 individuals, which is 2.6% of our population, right? We have 64 million people in this country. That's 2.6% of the population. They contribute 76.2% of all personal income tax.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah. 1.6 million people are paying 76.2% of all the personal income tax. And over 30% of the population, approximately 19.2 million people, currently rely on social grants. In other words, they are contributing
zero.
Nothing.
They're taking.
In terms of income tax.
Wow.
Yet the minorities that put the food in the majority's mouths are villainized. And we've got 32.1% unemployment. We should be looking after people who make money in this country. We should be looking after people who start businesses. We should be making sure that those people are protected, encouraged, and that we have things built into the system that reward them for creating jobs, that reward them for being productive, that make the economy work. Otherwise, we have no tax base. And if you don't have a tax base, guess what happens? Everybody goes bankrupt. And the whole country ends up paying a whole lot more for everything. So this is not sustainable. Yeah. 1.6 million people pay almost everything.
Yeah.
That can't work.
No, that's crazy.
You know, I just thought an interesting thing to take into consideration as we start a brand new year, because this is one of our biggest issues going forward. It's not, you know, Cyril stuffing $1 million of his own money, which frankly, he's probably trying to avoid tax on as well, ironically, into his sofa. That's a big story, but it's not the most important thing. This is important because this has to do with our sustainability. And we've got to get a grip on this ASAP. Don't pay attention to stupid news stories about some chick taking her wig off on Fly Sapphire. This is big. This is a big story. And I don't think most people even understand.
And everything else is one-off incidents. This is daily, weekly, monthly, yearly.
Correct. And then we were talking about alcohol. There's a direct link between alcohol and cancer. Still aren't going to stop us, right? I mean, you could tell people alcohol is poison.
Exactly.
And people hear that, but they're like, what are you going to do?
This news has been coming. We've been waiting for it.
Yeah, the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, has emphasized the link between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. Alcohol is the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the U.S. after tobacco and obesity. However, less than half of Americans recognize that it is a cancer risk factor. But let's just look at all three of those, right? So we got tobacco, obesity, alcohol. You're not going to get smokers to stop smoking.
Mm.
Some will, but most won't. You're not going to get fat people to stop eating. Some will, but most won't. And you're also not going to get people who drink to stop drinking. Some will, most won't. So just accept cancer's probably going to get you. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to depress you first thing on a Monday morning, but this is it. Something's going to get you. You just got to choose your poison.
Yeah, and the alcohol thing's been coming, you know, up until relatively recently, there were research saying that, you know, especially red wine is an anti-inflammatory, which is directly related to cancer markers, and that it was good to have a glass a week or a glass a day or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And when those sorts of stories came out, there were doctors who were saying, it's going to be a matter of months before drinking is as taboo as smoking.
Yeah.
Where you'll think, how did I even do that to myself?
Oh, I don't
And it's coming now. It's
not
coming
South
now
Africans.
With this. No, that it you know, the perception will be there. Because at the moment, drinking is not as bad as smoking in most people's minds.
Oh, you know what we haven't done? Is a sports recap with
Drax.
James.
My name is Martin. I'm using drugs.
I know you're using a lot of drugs, Leanne. I've seen your pill box. Yeah. But we'll get to a little bit of sport with James just after 7. We've also got a guest popping in a bit later on, Candice Weber, who's an actress, a presenter, a producer, and is best known for her roles in The Last Days of American Crime, The River, and Joy in the World. She's a multi-talented theater performer and actress too, and she's going to be hanging out with us after 7. So lots of fun on the way. I don't know what sport James has got. Have you got sport for us? Yeah. No, we'll do it just now. All right. I know there's a lot of crickets on TV.
Yes, there's been a lot of cricket. A lot of ups and downs, last minute turnarounds. That's about it.
I didn't. My TV was not on at all in December. Not on.
I don't know if it works.
I don't know if my fucking TV works, Leanne.
But you
pressed
are,
the button
using
and nothing
other devices.
Happened. This is it.
I haven't had
this
my TV on in months.
Even this thing was
maybe
like mothballed
five,
for a while.
6 months I haven't put it on.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, what for?
Don't need
right.
it.
What for? Okay, so this is quite interesting. I think that there are 8 workplace trends that will define 2025, according to experts in the field, experts, whatever they're worth anymore. Mm. But I have something that will make your life better. Get out your
phone. At work?
Yeah, it'll get everything. All right, so get your phone out, especially if you're on, I don't know if I can help you if you're on Android, but on Apple I can. So go to WhatsApp, your actual WhatsApp app, which all of us use, right? I mean, there are very few people who don't use WhatsApp. So what is one of the things that's been annoying us for the longest time is when someone like Gord Laws sends you a 23-minute podcast.
Yes, as a voice note,
right? And who has time to listen to that stuff? So go to your WhatsApp app.
Yeah.
Then go to your settings. Mm-hmm. Go to chats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you got the latest updates?
Hope so.
Okay, and then go to voice message transcripts. Do you see that?
Yes.
Press it.
Oh wow!
Yes.
Choose and now, language.
Right, you've got
English,
to make
South Africa.
Just make sure that your language on your settings for your phone is the same as the language for this,
and that it's not set to Norwegian bokmål.
No, because that usually is what you.
I battle to pick it up. Yeah.
And then once you've got voice message transcripts activated, when someone sends you a long, well, and for me, anything longer than a minute is long. I'm not going to listen to it. I just won't. I don't care how much useful information you've put in there. Anything longer than a minute, no good. This thing will now transcribe it into a message for you. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Right?
However, my button won't stay on.
It's because your languages are a disaster. You've still got Norwegian on there.
I've selected English South Africa.
I think in order to work it.
Okay,
it has
I did
to
it.
Be,
you, even if
it.
Even if English South Africa is selected with a tick, you still need to select it again.
Okay. Well, there we are. So even Leanne's figured it out.
Oh, there we go.
But that'll be helpful, right? The other thing is that I've noticed that Apple Intelligence, which nobody's raving about, by the way.
Their AI is very powerful.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's nowhere near what Google and OpenAI are doing.
No.
It really isn't. So Apple Intelligence launched, and again, you have to be able to set your languages to the right thing, otherwise it's not going to work properly. But if you are using it, it does do one or two useful things. If you get email on your phone, which I only do in emergencies, it can also summarize emails. So somebody sends you a three-paragraph email, you hit the little summary button, and it turns into a 2-3 sentence summary.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Because who wants to read all this shit at the start of 2025? Who wants to get a fucking essay from someone at the beginning of the year? Right, guys? I mean, this is very, very handy.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who are going to return to very full inboxes. But I've noticed, as much as you don't think it's going to slow down, it does.
What do you mean?
I haven't received half.
Oh,
as many,
no, no.
Emails
but,
as I thought
but
I would.
Leanne. Oh, Leanne Moll. Oh, Leanne. It's only the 6th of January. And most people are not even back at work this week. It's going to take at least another week for people to start.
We're back officially today, and I'm actually glad because our clients are not.
So yes,
we've got a week to.
You can get ready. Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
we're all
kind of brace ourselves.
Yeah, no, let's all start off. Let's get our act together. Let's get our ducks in a row. Let's do things like use what technology is going to enable us to use to be able to do things more efficiently. I mean, if AI can do stuff for you, why are you struggling? Why are you suffering? Why are you gay?
Why are you gay?
Just get, like, use the fucking machines. That's what they're there for. And people are all terrified of AI because they're thinking, you know, the Terminator. But it's long before that happens.
Yeah. Were you scared of the internet? Were you scared of Google? Were you scared of
no
phone books?
No. You?
No.
Definitely not. And also, this is the year I've decided no more excuses. I'm going to do all the things that I've been putting off for the longest time. Getting into shape, tidying up, you know, all the things that you leave behind, all the filing and all of that stuff. I'm getting it done, and it's going to start this week.
Yeah, I started that too. I'm going to get my passport at 12 o'clock. We'll apply.
Oh, good. Well done.
Because it's been lost for years.
And you haven't been able to leave your house for how many years now? We used to have to send someone with a passport to, like, smuggle you in the boot.
So, yeah, I haven't traveled in a while, but I will be traveling this year, which is cool.
Good. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And apparently people are talking also about these workplace trends, which we'll get into in a short while. We'll find out what's happening in the world of sport, and we will check in with our new guest, which is all the start of a brand new year. We're very, very excited. Don't go anywhere. This is The Real Network, The Gareth Cliff Show, Monday, the 6th of January, 2025.